This is Connecticut Public Radio. I'm Diane Orson. Years ago, my first apartment in New Haven was a few blocks away from a massive old factory building. It seemed abandoned, boarded up doors, random graffiti on the walls. I did not know that inside it was quietly teeming with life. The New Haven Clock Factory opened on Hamilton Street in the mid-1800s. At its peak, it was the largest timepiece manufacturing facility in the world. Hundreds of Connecticut workers built clocks and pocket watches and later fuses during World War II. By the late 1950s, the company had filed for bankruptcy, but the sprawling structure remained. And in the 1970s, it began to attract the attention of visual and performing artists. The factory became an alternative space for New Haven's counterculture. People found ways to live and work there. Later, a string of nightclubs moved in. The building is now being renovated into artist-based and affordable housing. This evening, the New Haven Museum opens an exhibit celebrating the factory's avant-garde past. Curator Jason Bischoff-Wurzel says he wants to shine a light on those years when most passers-by, myself included, were not aware of all that was happening inside. I met Bischoff-Wurzel in the upper rotunda of the museum as he was setting up the show.
As you enter across from our elevator, you see in cut vinyl letters, simply factory, all capitals, one word, kind of getting to the point. And the point of this is celebrating a history that's, I've labeled an alternative history, if you will, an underground history of a post-industrial era of a manufacturing icon here in New Haven.
Here we see what looks like a fairly large image of the building.
Yes, about just when it was closing. And that's really where we pick up for the show. Urban renewal was happening. And New Haven, next to Newark, New Jersey, received the most federal money to build and change and alter the landscape.
Are we talking about the point at which the highways began to divide the city?
Exactly. And the highway, Interstate 91, is exactly what set this building apart from downtown.
How did the separation of this large building affect its use?
Oh, incredible. That's kind of the basis of the show. That's actually what we dive into. It affected it to the point where this building for generations had housed workers and mostly immigrant families, etc., who would spend generations working here. It was the corner piece for this neighborhood that grew rapidly, that was multicultural, and within, say, 20 years, gone. Most of the neighborhood was unrecognizable, except for this, still left. So we're walking into the front room, what we've been calling to the installation the blue room, because you'll notice the bright orange paint and the sort of slate blue color here.
And we're seeing a montage of posters.
Yes. So this section of the show deals with the other side of the factory, and the other side being this, the club history. There was a series of clubs in a space in the factory up until just last year. Scores, a strip club, closed. What we're looking at here is a montage, a mural of local artists, underground, hardcore punk flyers. And this is going to document the Brick and Wood International Cafe.
And what's that?
That was a club that started in the early 80s. The underground punk movement was taking off, and for a brief moment, the Brick and Wood was really well known as a underground punk-centered club. And at the same time, though, on the weekends, for a period of time, was also the premier urban R&B club of Connecticut.
It was a music club, but there were also strip clubs?
Eventually, yes. The R&B club closes around 1987, more or less morphs into a kind of death metal club, as it goes, and then by 1990 becomes a strip club, or kind of more of a burlesque club. And that club that formed around that point was Kurtz 2. And there's a convoluted backstory there between the battle of Kurtz 2 versus the Copacabana, the entertainment complexes, the sort of Las Vegas for the LGBTQ population of Connecticut at that point. And so it was burlesque, it was drag queens, go-go dancers. It was something for everybody.
What do you take away from your work putting this exhibit together?
The takeaway from this, and what's really exciting, is that everybody's story counts.
Thank you for your time this morning and for the important work you've done.
Thank you.
Historian Jason Bischoff-Wurzel is the curator of an exhibit opening today at the New Haven Museum called Factory. The show runs through August 31st.